Yes, sir. Now it is. Okay, Chris, I'm glad you made it back today, because my goodness, it's just been two of the official ones here. Now we got three at least. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity, the pleasure, the joy of just going through some principles and what to look for and how to look for in this book, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I want to share with you something really, really, really interesting. Now, let me see here. We have, actually, we've not come to Chronicles or Kings yet, have we? Yes, we have. Yeah. Have we done 1 Kings? When we get to Chronicles, I want to show you something cool. All right. So, did we do the assignment on 105? To 105? Okay. But where did we leave off? And I'm in the book then. Well, I have a paper clip on 105. On 105. That's why I ask. Okay, so we got to do the questions. Ah, I got you. Okay, on which book? Huh? 1 Kings. Okay, then page 105, we have some good work to do here. Assignment, select three, and it says, state in one sentence, the central truth taught. Okay, Morgan, did you do one?
Yes.
All right. And what is that about? Okay, and what is your...
My point was that the very first of that, it said, now God gave to Solomon wisdom. So my point was that wisdom comes from God, and God gave it to Solomon, every human man for now.
Okay, I'll have something to add to that in a moment, though, about God giving it to him. Okay, did you do one?
Yes.
All right.
11:29-36. Ahijah.
Yeah, and what is... What's it? Okay.
And talked about that God was faithful to David and Jeroboam and not divided his kingdom until after Solomon.
Yes.
The truth there for me was that God respects those that obey, even to the point of others being blessed.
Now, you do realize it was his. And I forgot the passage, I didn't know where it was going to come up, where it is because of David that he didn't divide it during Solomon's time.
Right, and that's where Solomon was actually blessed by not having
because of David. Yes. I see what you're saying. Good, yes. All right. Yeah. Okay. Did you do one?
Prosper.
Good. Glad you saw it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. That's right. That was sinners we were. Yeah. Can't do it. All right. But you can't. You can't. All right, did you do it too? A second one. Okay. Did you do a second? Yep. That's about what the disciples did. Okay. The wisdom, point I was going to bring out, is the wisdom is from God, but it is from where Solomon asked. And he asked with idols in his heart. So the wisdom is the wisdom of the world, which fails, ultimately. He was not the wisest man. Okay, did you do a third one? Did you do a second one? Or third one, excuse me. Right, did you do a third one? Good. Now, when y'all realize when it says strange women, it doesn't mean that women were strange. It just meant they were not Israelites, foreigners. Okay. I just want to make that clear. Turned to other gods. He did not have the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the world. Now I'm going to share with y'all just some insight on you. When you study things like this, things you want to look for and digest, I have three things I want to point out that shows the difference in David and Solomon. Okay, the first thing. The first one, we're going to look at David's prayer. Look at 1 Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16. First Chronicles 16, and let's just take a look. Just one thing I want to show you, and then we'll look at all of it. But look at verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. That's the heart of David. Now look at Solomon in 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8. Verse 27. 27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain thee. 1 Kings chapter 8. First Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? He's very occupied with himself, and I'll show you more of that. But just these are the kinds of things you look for when you're reading through. So you have the house I built versus thankfulness for what God has done. All right, the second thing. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16. This is crucial. 1 Chronicles 16. And we're going to concentrate just to see if you see this. I tell you what, before we do anything, open your Bibles also to 1 Kings. So we just get it right quickly and see if you see it. 1 Kings chapter 8. Okay, 1 Kings chapter 8. Now let's go back and hold your place there, but go to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16, and we're going to read verse 16. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Now look at 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. What's the difference? David went to the Abrahamic covenant. Solomon to the Mosaic covenant. These are just little clues that clue you in on a person's real character. Now let's go back to the First Corinthians, or Chronicles 16. And let's just read 15 through 17 to get the mindset of David. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. Remember his covenant forever. Which covenant? And people, you always have to ask yourself that when you're reading in the Bible. Which covenant is being referred to? Don't assume Abrahamic. Don't assume Mosaic. Don't assume Davidic. Just, you got to find out. And sometimes it's very difficult, but here it's not. In verse 15, remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac. He also confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. David is occupied with the Abrahamic covenant. And I also want you to just pay a note. Some people will tell you, whenever you see statutes, it's always talking about the law. Here it's obvious. Statute does not refer to the Mosaic law. Verse 17. Statute dealing with the Abrahamic covenant. So you just have to be careful. Be wise in your listening. So that's the second thing, is the difference in the covenants that they had. Now a third one that's really fun. I'd like you to turn to 1 Chronicles. Well, we're at 16, so hold your place there. And 1 Kings 8, you should have your other hand there. All right. Now, 1 Chronicles 16:36. 16:36. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love is everlasting. Then say, deliver us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations, to give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Now look at verse 36. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. Okay, got that? Now look at 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8. 66. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed what? The king. Who did they bless under David's time? The Lord. Who did they bless under Solomon's time? The king. There's the difference. So you have three prominent differences in David and Solomon. First of all, David praises God for what God has done. Solomon praises God, or talks to God about what he's done, the house that I built. Secondly, David goes to the Abrahamic covenant. Solomon depends on the Davidic, the Mosaic covenant. And then thirdly, under David's leading, the people praise the Lord. Under Solomon's, they praise Solomon. So those are just some things. These are the kinds of things you want to look for. You can kind of read through. If you just read the things inside, you go, oh yeah, that's okay, it's okay. Then you go look at the way David did it. And you go, wow, what a difference. They're not the same. It's just like you hear two people, you know, preaching or something. You go, oh, that's really good. And then you hear a real teaching of it. And you go, wait a minute, there's too big of a difference here. Well, this is what you have between David and Solomon. They're so different in that respect. Okay. Yeah, primarily. And when we get there, I'll show you a very important verse in Proverbs that just lays it out, if you want to see. It's a powerful, important verse. It just takes the book of Proverbs and slams dunk most of it. Shows. No. Nope. Nope. It contains truth, but in its total, it's not true. It's like the words of Job's three friends. The Job's three friends spoke contained truth, but it wasn't truth. And when Elihu, the Christ figure in the story of Job, when he spoke, that was truth. Job's three friends would speak, you go, well, that's good, that's good. That's why a lot of preachers use Job's three friends for sermons. But if you look at it carefully, it contains truth, but it's not truth. The conclusions they draw and the ideal support of that is God says, I'm getting rid of these three friends because of what they said was not true about me. What they said about me is not true. There's your real secret. So I'm going to get rid of them. And that's when you see the character Job being restored. Job said, please don't do that. Spare them. And God said, because of you, I will. It's powerful stuff. But it's just things you got to be so careful. You can't just, oh, well, this is all the Word of God. No, you got to study it. Understand what's going on in it. rightly dividing the word of truth is a very strong exhortation to rightly divide it, rightly understand it. And here we're seeing the difference between David. If we'd have just read those things by Solomon, I don't know that I'd have had any problem. I said, okay, that's cool. He praised the Lord, thanked the Lord, and all that. Then you start thinking, well, wait a minute. God never meant the Mosaic covenant, and Joshua left it out of his whole speech, his farewell address, as we saw. And so what's going on here? And then you read David, you go, wow, David goes back to the Abrahamic covenant. Yep. No, this, I didn't get this out of a book. No. We were talking, maybe it was last week, about modern writers, and I talked to John Hintz, and I said, there's just not too many. There may be one or two that in certain areas are really good, but across the board. And Stephen Carnock's super. Barnhouse's book. But now, see, I don't know about recommending all of Barnhouse's work. I don't know. I haven't really studied Barnhouse. Oh, man. Right on. Powerful. Just changed my whole life in that area and advanced it. Yeah. Okay. From what my experience with him, he is right on. His consistency bothers me, or inconsistency. But for an example, I got the correct translation in 1 John 1:9 from Hal Lindsey out of one of his books. But then I've heard him speak, and he doesn't stay with that. So what I'm saying is that he did see the truth. And on many issues, like today, when he deals with current issues and things, he is right on. The everlasting jihad, everlasting hatred. Everlasting hatred, we got it. Yeah, we got that, yeah. It's good. We've got it. I've not read it. I read through when we first got it. Just looked through it. It's good stuff. Now, it's not Bible exegesis. It's dealing with history of the world today. And on that, he is right on. And boy, I tell you, a frightening thing. Oh, I wish I could find that. He was talking about how Iran said to Israel just this last week, we will wipe out Tel Aviv in one day if they did something. Syria said it. Yeah. Yes, Syria, yes. We will wipe out Tel Aviv. And Israel said Damascus will be leveled in one night. And then Hal Lindsey says, oh, let me show you this passage. In Isaiah, it said Damascus will no longer be. It'll be wiped out. And it has never been done yet. Thank you, darling. I appreciate that. Do you mind if we're about 20 miles outside of Tel Aviv looking back? All right, 50 miles. How about from here, looking at it on TV? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye. I gotta go. I got stuff to do. We get to Isaiah. I'll try to find that's kind of fast. But I was really, he played it up on the board. I thought, wow, that is really interesting. Yeah. 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 And Damascus is prophesied, yeah. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes. Yeah. I can fake a passport. Do I look like I'm a Mexican? Hola, señor. Isaiah 17:1, is that it? Does it talk about it being leveled? It will come and fall and ruin. That's it. Look at that. Isaiah 17:1. Isaiah 17:1. Read it again. I don't think so. No, that's why the Jews said they're going to retaliate and hit Damascus. Because it's a center of Assyria. Terror before morning, there are no more. Yep, such will be the portion of those who plunder us and the lot of those who pilgrimage us. Yeah. And so it was just funny that Israel said, we'll level Damascus. No! No! You think they were going by the Bible?
I bet they. I've been getting this stuff. I can't remember the name of it. It's a magazine from talking about Israel. And they're a world. These people know this stuff.
Well,
they know. In and out. I guarantee you that wasn't just an
offhand. Good. Okay. Good. That's very good. Well, that was really cool, though, that they said that about Tel Aviv, and then they said that about Damascus, and then he reads this passage. Oh, wow, look at this. No, they're just looking for Israel being a dominant nation. Setting up their fortresses. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, gentlemen, it's getting interesting. It really is. Eschatologically, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. 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 Wow, cool. Yeah. Heritage. Yeah. No.
He was born in June, raised in June, went into the university, commando.
Yeah. Okay, God's in control of that. All right, page 107. Did we do that? 2 Kings? Okay. So, page 107. Page 107. 2 Kings. Fall of Israel and Judah. Fall of the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. Introduction and outline. 2 Kings. Well, let me just see if there's anything we want to point out from this. All right. Okay, here we go. Second Kings. Below is an outline. We'll look at that in our own book. Of Second Kings for the outline, both the first and second Kings, the introduction, first Kings outline. And that's all that he said. So, we got that. Let's look at the outline we have in this book of 2 Kings. 25 chapters, 4 major divisions. Be nice if each division were 25 chapters, but not so. Okay, or 5 chapters. Let's see here. Chapters 1 through 16, split kingdom continues. Chapter 17, the fall of the northern kingdom, Israel. 18 through 23, surviving kingdom declines. Chapters 24 and 25, fall of Judah. Under the first section, the split kingdom continues. Israel, Judah. The fall of Israel, Assyrian captivity, 722 BC. Surviving kingdom declines. That's Judah. Then the fall of Judah, Babylonian captivity, 586. So 722 down to 586. That's a grace period, but they didn't respond. Key people, Elijah, Elisha, Naaman, the leper, Jehu, Joash, Hoshea, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Josiah, Zedekiah. Key phrases, according to the word of the Lord. Kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. Israelites deported to Assyria. Judah was led away into exile. Okay, sin destroys two kingdoms. Actually, I would just say the lack of faith and trust in God is what did it, which is sin. Now, on page 108, got a nice running outline for us on 2 Kings. Divided kingdom continues, and then the fall of Israel, 1 chapter 17. Surviving kingdom declines, then the fall of Judah. Okay, the divided kingdom continues. Elijah and Ahaziah according to the word of the Lord. Translation of Elijah. Elisha. Ministry begins. Jehoram and Jehoshaphat versus Moab. Now, what I want, I'd like to take a moment and show you in 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And see if this is what I'm thinking about. I want to show you something really powerful. Chapter 2, verse, let me see here. Well, that isn't the verse that I wanted. Wait. No. Let's see. Elisha. Well, I don't want to take the time here. But what's interesting is a good little fun study is to study Elijah and Elisha, Jesus Christ, prefigured by Elijah, and then he leaves, and who takes his place but Elisha, and Elisha prefigures a picture of the type of the Holy Spirit, and Elisha, the verse I was looking for, is directly related with the Holy Spirit. Not said of Elijah, I'm not saying he... Holy Spirit wasn't with Elijah, but I think it's interesting that with Elisha, he is related with the Holy Spirit. So, it just is a very interesting relationship that Elisha has with the Holy Spirit if we see him taking the place of Elijah. And there are several other things that are so interesting about Elisha being a type of the Holy Spirit. Elijah being a type of Jesus Christ. Just as a fun, interesting study. Ah, that's it. And it came about when they crossed over to Elijah, said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be done to you." And let's see, the fire. I think the fire is the spirit. What I wanted to see here. The God of Elijah. What is their crossover? Yes. Yep. I think that's it. And so Elijah is so related with the Holy Spirit. It's just an interesting study to read through and study just reading through Elijah. Think about Jesus Christ. Read through Elisha. Think of the Holy Spirit. Let's see here. Elisha, continuing on page 108 at the bottom of the first column. Elisha, the man, God speaking, the man of God speaking the word of God, performing miracles. Reviews the reigns of the kings. Jehu anointed Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha, and used as God's instrument of judgment against the house of Ahab and Jezebel. Jehu wipes out Baal worship, but remains in idolatry. See, those are the kind of things you have to watch for. Why is that? Well, what did he put in its place? Partial revival under Joash and Jehu. All the kings of Israel were bad and did evil in the sight of God. Some of the kings of Judah did right, but not completely. Civil war, chaos. Chapter 17, the fall of the northern kingdom. King Hoshea in Israel did evil. Assyria captures Israel. Sins of Israel. Idolatry and walking in the customs of the nations. Disobedience. Immorality. Child sacrifice. Astrology. Witchcraft. The Lord removed Israel from his sight. The surviving southern kingdom, but it's declining. 20-year reign, good King Hezekiah, who clung to the Lord. God delivers Judah from Sennacherib twice. 55-year evil reign of Manasseh, Judah's worst and longest reigning king. God, I will judge Judah for Manasseh's sins. 31 years. And the point here is, people, putting in perspective of our own day and time, you get what you want. Why is he taking it out on the people? That's what they wanted. They wanted him. So if that's what you want, okay. 31-year reign of good King Josiah. Rebuilt the temple. Revival. And it's a fun studying Josiah. It really is fun. Rediscovery and renewal of the law. Renewal of the Passover celebration. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. But too late to stay God's judgment. Then the fall of Judah, Babylonian captivity under Nebuchadnezzar, Jehoiakim, and against the kings, three exiles, 605, 597, 586, temple of Jerusalem destroyed. So Judah was led away into captivity from the land. Okay? Chapters 1 through 16, we have a written synopsis of what we just read in outline form. The chapter 17, the fall of Israel. And then chapters 18 through 23, surviving kingdom declines. That's Judah, the surviving kingdom. And then we read already the removal of idols, rebuilt the temple, led a spiritual revival, renewal of the word of God in the land. People, the word of God is just so crucial. One of the things going on in America today, and even among evangelicals, is the moving away from a adherence and a verse by verse, word by word allegiance to this book. And it's just not in very many churches, not slapping us on the back by any means, just saying there are not many churches. How many churches did y'all pass getting here? And that's all across America. There are millions of churches in this country. And a lot of them don't even have a building. They're like us. They're stuck in an office building or somewhere. And very few are studying the truth of God's Word. It's amazing. Yeah. What church is what? Wow. But we don't have beer joints near them. Yeah. close your ears. I got to tell you all this story. I have a very good friend, and at this time he lived up in Kansas. So we pull up to a red light, and right over here is this big church. And right across the street on this side of the corner was a church's fried chicken. And he says to me, "We closed down all the churches in Kansas City." I went, "You did what? We closed down all the churches in Kansas City." "No way did you close down all the churches in Kansas City." And then we realized he's talking about churches, fried chicken. I'm talking about churches. I mean, it was just funny when we realized what we were saying. And he said, "Yeah, we closed them all down." He's thinking, "We closed them all down. You didn't close down all the churches in Kansas City." Oh. So you got to know what you're talking about when you're talking to people, I guess. But anyway, it really is. It's difficult. And it's getting more difficult. A lot of evangelical churches are not teaching the Bible verse by verse. And seminaries aren't teaching it for the students to go out and do it either. Because people don't really want it. And most pastors want to give what people want to get the people in. And so, all right, let's go. Huh? Do what? I don't know. I know who you're talking about. Goldstein.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a big PR work, yes. That's it. Yes. Yep. Prosperity gospel. God will bless you. Yep. Yep. Directing the traffic in and out, yeah. It's a small stadium. Yeah. Okay, here's the great problem, and this is very, very important. In order to do the package, whole paragraph, you have to have the training, teaching, and everything to be able to look at that. And so what happens is pastors that have been brought up and from our background and all, and they don't want to do this, they're able to do more of that paragraph teaching because of the training. But that next generation isn't going to have that training. So it's going to be watered down and watered down and watered down. And that's what's going to happen. A Baptist preacher? You go over to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, or what's the one in Louisville, Kentucky. They have two different Baptist seminaries.
Baptist.
Yes, yes. Now that I don't know. That I don't know. 4-year curriculum is very strenuous, and even Dallas is really limited, knocked it down to 3 years. But to get a THM, you got to go 4 years. But I don't know about the degree program of the Baptist schools. Nor do I know how much Greek and Hebrew they offer. But it's just not really wanted, so it's not that many going to be taking it. I know Dallas Seminary has really broadened, and every so often that those two departments, the Hebrew and the Greek department, get smaller and smaller. Fewer students are taking that stuff. And so it's just not it's not being taught. In fact, I heard if you wanted a really good education in the Semitic languages, like Ugaritic, Chaldean, and these things, you go to a liberal school, because the conservative seminaries are not teaching it anymore. Now, to the degree that that's true, I do not know. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But it's just, as America gets darker and darker, the want of that is growing heavier and heavier, and people are not having the foundation. I was thinking this week while I was working on in Psalm 31, dealing with God's righteousness and God's love, when was the last time I spent time going through the various essences and attributes of God? And it's been a while, and I'm going to have to do that. And some of the ones that have it stable are going to go, oh, no. But every now and then we need to go back and look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, the eighth grade.
Yeah.
We used to come on Tuesday and Thursday, and there'd be whole, like, moments, maybe years of talking about life.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just
you
on that word.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, you're talking right along with her, and I knew, okay, she's never had all the time.
But she seemed to stay right with me. That. Yeah, and that's the point. There you got. If I do that, I've got to have the foundation to be able to do it. But then the people don't have that. Don't have it, and so it just gets weaker, weaker and weaker. To where, unless some of the pastors, most of the pastors, I would like to say, are teaching the verse by verse and this type of thing, and getting it down where you can grab hold of it. Yes. That she did that because I said, Mark should know all of that. I wonder why Mark. No. Yeah. It's there, yeah. And that's another danger of doing that, especially if you don't have that years of teaching. And like I said, some of the people that are doing that have had somebody teaching them the good stuff. And so they're just doing that. And now, what's going to happen to the next generation? They're dead. Spiritually. Go ahead. Good! You're fortunate!
And I said, well, what's the problem? Man, I got 1,146 tapes. And then I
Oh, okay, okay, Dad, I'll get him out of the closet. Yes, honey. Oh, absolutely. But it'll take some time. And very few will, as they're doing the you know, verse by verse study. Now, what we're talking about is very good for young people. Camps and things. Yeah. Oh, man, I would not do this. As you know, I teach at camp. I don't do this. I don't do this at camp. I got one or two major ideas, and I go one, two, three, and I want them back. I don't got 100. I don't got 50. I don't got 10. Most is 7. But generally I try to keep it 5 and under. And that's all. If I can walk away and I think they've got, that's why that Sunday up to camp, that little girl that went through it, I mean, I can't tell you how happy it made me. That little girl gave it back, what love is. And I went, wow, that's great. That little girl was worth the whole deal. Now, it'll be years and she'll be ready for other stuff. But just that basic understanding for what we're doing with the young people, absolutely, no, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't even think of doing this if I taught young people. Huh? Do what? Got to study it. Yes. And be able to do it. Yes. And see, that takes... They'll be gone. Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, in regard to what you're saying, and I'll tell you a little secret here, that would take unbelievable amount of more time than I spend now, because for that one paragraph that I'm going to do this Sunday, do you realize how much hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work I'd have to do to get there and do it all in 1 hour? Whereas now, I can study maybe, you know, whatever number of hours and get maybe a lesson out of it. And what do you say? What do you say about me? And see, what I appreciate is Stephen, like Stephen Carnock, who you mentioned a while ago, he is a point 1, 2, 3, 4, and I mean, he's 16th century, 1500s. It was, I mean, you read his book. Yeah. It feels the same way. Well, he feels the same way. And it just is good stuff. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I have a good one that I like, Christopher Plummer. And Plummer is really good because what he does, and I wish he'd have done more books. I've got him in the Gospel of John and Luke, but he doesn't even do points. He just puts the Greek word and talks about it. And, I mean, it is scholarly. It is good. It's not just a nice fireside message. It is good stuff. And he'll do that. Not every word in a verse, but he'll go through a verse and he'll pick out. And I absolutely cherish his work. Plummer, P-L-U-M-M-E-R. And he is just, I mean, I just... Plummer was the end of the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century. No, wait a minute. 20th century, I'm sorry. End of the 19th into the 20th century. And see, that there's a great conflict because for a long time, I don't go to hospitals. That's what deacons are for. That's what other people are for. And then after I got into the truth of spirituality by faith and spiritual love and all, I said, no. The gift is a pastor, shepherd. So I'm a pastor, I mean a shepherd teacher. So I've got a shepherd. So I've got to do some of that. And I just had to make sure that I did not rob my study time. Maybe took out time from other stuff I wanted to do. But it's a dual gift. It's shepherd-teacher. So there's some shepherding that has to be done. And some men are just really overloaded on shepherd. And I, if that can be possible, overloaded on teaching. And somewhere or another, I think the Holy Spirit gives you that balance. That's why... And it's not biblical. That's why I don't think God ever designed big churches. A man could not do his job. A man could not do his job of correctly studying and teaching the Bible and be a shepherd. Couldn't do it. Just, yeah, have everybody to do it. So, okay, let's take us a little break here, and then we'll come back and get back into Kings. And so. And I'll tell you a little secret here. That would take unbelievable amount more time than I spend now, because for that one paragraph that I'm going to do this Sunday, do you realize how much hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of work I'd have to do to get there? We are page 112. Let's see what we got as far as the help on 112. Okay, the assignments on page 112. Let's take a look. And it's the same thing. Pick a passage and then state in one sentence the central truth taught. Okay. Let's start with you, Brian.
I did verse 1.
And what's the context?
Let's
I'm asking you. Yeah. Yeah. Very few people like to be told from a prophet of God, you're going to die, you're going to lose a battle or whatever, and he didn't like that. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's called wisdom. That's called learning, learning, learning. Okay. He got a lot of dealing with the fear of the message of God, and how he resented the message of God, and therefore took it out on the messenger of God, and a lot of things in it. Yes, sir. Yes, he will. Yes, sir. Good. All right. All right. Okay, what's it about? Okay. Good. 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 Very good. Did you have a second one? Context? Very good. Elijah did not pull what Tonto pulled. Tonto and the Long Ranger surrounded by Indians. And Long Ranger said, what are we going to do, Tonto? Here come the Indians. What do you mean we, white man? All right, did you have a segment, Chris?
I did.
All right.
On chapter 9, verse 1 to 10, James, I've been waiting for that scheme. And the Lord said, send a man to the Lord.
very good. That's about the case of it, too. That's it. People, that is the most fundamental thing you want to know. The plan of God is going on. You can get on and enjoy the ride, or you can fight it. But it's going to go. All right. Did you have a last one, more, a third one, Morgan?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Yeah, he uses others, and those are his judgment tools, and that type of thing. All right, let's see. Did you have a third one? Beautiful. Love that. Good. Did you have a third one?
I did 24:1-7.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's see now. We're ready. Page 115. Oh, yes. Yeah. The Jews. Yeah. And he gave it to him, and that ended it. It didn't satisfy him. Yeah. Okay. Map of the divided kingdom on 114. You kind of got to get an idea about Judah and Benjamin, and then the northern kingdom. All right. Chapter 115, First Chronicles, King David's glorious reign. Structure, major division, 29 chapters. Two major divisions, 1-9, roots of Israel, 10-29, rule of David. Rather simple pointing out. And under the roots of Israel, genealogies, Adam, David, 12 tribes of Israel, focus on Judah, Levites, emphasis on the messianic line, the remnant of Judah returning from exile. And then the king of the rule of King David, highlights of David's reign, David king in Jerusalem, David's mighty men, the ark brought to Jerusalem, desire to build the temple, David's leadership skills. Now, I think I already gave you this, but this is a good place to see in the history given to us in Chronicles, is that the Old Testament, you just kind of keep in touch with the Old Testament, and what he just said about Chronicles really fits it in. Is it just looks like this. It gets starts off very broad with a race. Actually, we could start with the Gentiles, but with Israel, start with a race, and then the nation. Then the tribes. Then the family. And you come down to where you have the Messiah. And so this is the way the Old Testament really reads out. It's everything going down toward God keeping His word. I will save mankind. I will make him righteous. I will do it alone. And this is Him doing it. So everything moves from I will and I will do it alone to His actually doing it. So that's the way the Old Testament really kind of reads out and plays out. And if you look at the way he words it here, that's exactly about what he says under the verses 4, chapters 1 through 9. Genealogies, Adam, down to David, 12 tribes of Israel, focus on Judah. So we've gone from Gentiles to the tribes, Judah and the Levites, and the emphasis on the Messianic line. And that's why when you study the Chronicles and even Kings, it'll talk about David, because he's the standard. It's all going down through David. And so this is what God is doing historically. All right, let's look on page 116, First Chronicles, the roots of Israel. Adam to Abraham, chapter 1. Abraham to Jacob, chapter 1. Jacob to David. David to captivity. 12 tribes of Israel. So you got the 12 tribes of Israel. The remnant from Judah, returning from exile. Focus of Messianic and Davidic line. Then the rule of King David. Rule of Saul. Rule of David. Rise of David. Reign of David. Royal orders for the kingdom. Requirements for Solomon, and regal offerings. And under regal offerings, temple is for God. Give offerings yourself, willingly, with a whole heart. So David blessed the Lord, and the death of David. And that's the part that we read, how David blessed the Lord. And then you have, in page 117, the focus of what we saw in the outline on page 116. He just kind of goes through it, gives you more information. Like, for an example, 1 through 9, the roots of Israel. The focus is on Judah, David's tribe, and one from whom Christ would come. Levi, the tribe from which the priesthood came, would be prominent. And then Benjamin, the tribe whom Israel's first king Saul came, and which supported King David. Now, do all of you know... We have 12 tribes of Israel, and then we have the tribe of Levi. That comes into 13. Does everyone know how we got 13 tribes and not just the 12? Huh? Double portion. Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. So that's how we got that. Okay. Okay, you got... Yeah. You got the 12 tribes of Israel, and then you got the tribe of Levi, the priestly tribe. So where did that come from? Well, the extra tribe, you don't have a tribe of Joseph. There's no Joseph tribe. Joseph had two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So now we have 13. And you take Levi out, and there's your 12 tribes of Israel. Does that make sense to everyone? Does everybody understand that? Okay. All right. You got the 12. You got 12 tribes. You got 12 tribes of Israel. You got one tribe of Levi. This is the priestly tribe. Okay, that's 13. So where did we get 13? All right, Jacob had 12 sons. One of those, no, yes, he is. Yeah, one of those sons is Joseph. There is no tribe of Joseph. Joseph was given a double blessing. So you have Ephraim and Manasseh. So you have now, you have the 11 tribes, minus Joseph, but let's add his two here. So now we have 13 tribes, minus one, the tribe of Levi. He's set apart to be the priestly tribe, so we're back to the 12 tribes of Israel. Does that explain it clearly enough? Yes, and Ephraim. And they are the double blood. They are not direct sons of Jacob. They are the sons of Joseph. And Joseph doesn't have a tribe. Joseph was given a double blessing. His two sons would be tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now we pull one, and that's 13, pull one out to be the priestly tribe, and now we have the 12 tribes and 12 areas of land. And one priestly tribe. And see, this, all this just gets more and more and more rich. You take the priest and the king. This is Judah. This is Levi. And Jesus Christ is the king priest. And no one else is authorized to be the king priest except Jesus Christ. So, all of this just, it just gets richer and richer and richer. And Melchizedek of the Old Testament, I'm not about ready to spell out his name, even though Melech means king, I do know that. And Zedek means righteous, the king of righteousness is what Melchizedek means. But anyway, Melchizedek was king priest, and Jesus Christ is a king priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Which is Jerusalem. Jerusalem. So, this is, it just gets richer and richer and richer and richer. To see, you just see God's hand. Everywhere, all over the place, you just see His hand at work in history. So powerful. And then you go to the book of Hebrews and it really gets, it's even more powerful. Where, yes, and in Hebrews, they do not pay to the tribe of Levi, but to Jesus Christ. Pay tribute to Christ. And it's a very important point in Hebrews 7 or 8. Yeah. No. About Melchizedek. No. Yeah. 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 Well, see, a lot of people do not think there was a Melchizedek. I think he's a true, real person. I mean, they sat down, Melchizedek and Abraham sat down and broke bread and had wine, the first communion. First communion tribute to the Messiah. Yeah. Mystery. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No. Don't know it. It's really fun stuff. There's so many fun things that are going on. I think it was a real person. Yeah, yeah, and wrestled with Jacob, and wrestled with Jacob. No, you're on the right track. If he's a real man, that means Jesus Christ was a real man before he became as a Messiah, and that's not true. So there was a real man named Melchizedek, and also he's just a Christ-like person. That's exactly right. And that's why they said Jesus Christ is a king priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek? No, I think he's a real man. Because they sat down and they had the first communion to the Messiah. Bread and wine. First time bread and wine are mixed together in one passage is with Melchizedek and Abraham. Okay. That takes care of why there are 13 tribes. Is everyone clear on that? We got a good handle? Okay? All right. Y'all aren't answering, so I'm going to assume okay. And that could be a bad assumption. Where are you looking? Page 114? 116. Oh. Yes, Dan's a tribe. Okay, I don't think this is meant to be a no. If you want a true listing, you got to page 70. Okay, the reason Manasseh's twice. Let me tell you why Manasseh's twice. Half the tribe of Manasseh went on the east side of Jordan. Half the tribe of Manasseh went on the west side of Jordan. So that's why you got Manasseh twice. Let's see. You got Simeon, Dan, Benjamin. Yeah, they all seem to be there. And I was going to also direct you to alright Genesis 49, if you look with me at Genesis 49. Under Genesis 49, you have the blessings of Jacob. Now you have Reuben is mentioned. You're my firstborn. Uncontrolled as water is a characteristic of each tribe. Not just of the man, it's his gene, genetic, that will be passed down. And then you have Judah, and the scepter, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. This is the kingly tribe of Jesus Christ. And you go through and you got all the tribes. Okay, let's go back now to our page 117, where we have the basic paragraph writing of what we looked at on the previous page. I do like the middle of page 117, the pure and clear messianic line through King David. The fact that on the whole, David and Solomon kept God's covenant. That is so wrong. That is so wrong. I'm on the middle of page 117. Let's see, the roots of Israel. It's amazing how people want to praise Solomon and not read the scriptures. God didn't like Solomon. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not even in. Yes, and as far as I'm concerned, in that understanding, and I can show you in so many scriptures. And he's not in Hebrews. He's not in Hebrews 11, the chapter of the heroes. He's just not there. Huh? Sure. Why, he brought in all the women and Baal worship. He thought he was wise. Yeah, that was a result of not trusting God. So he just brought in, had all these women. Yeah. So, now, did we have an assignment, page 119? Good. All right, boy, we're just clicking right along. All right. Well, let me say this, if it wasn't for this book, we wouldn't be this far. We'd be on chapter 2 of the first book. I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. Oh, man. Okay, assignment. First Chronicles are these chapters, and select three, and then it says state in one sentence the central truth taught. Okay, I've started there and I started there. Let's start with you, Chris. 15, 1 through 3. 15, 1 through 3. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway, the separate proof being told is the Lord is to be obeyed in the faith. So David, I know I've made a lot of mistakes, I've made a lot of errors, I've got a lot of issues, but I'm turning back to God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why he's a man after God's own heart. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absence of faith. Morgan? Okay. Okay. And that's so good. That's so true. Do you have a second one? It's just almost what it says in the verse. Yeah. That was a good one to pick. Did you have a second one? Beautiful. So many people do not see that. That's good. That was the problem with his sense of taking. Certainly. Yeah. Good. And see, I mean, that's seeing what's going on in the text. That's good. All right, Morgan?
I did the refrigerator one too. It said, fear the Lord, he will give you support to it as well. But I can also do it with the other one. And the other one, I accept some of the truth, not that he did, but Satan tempts us to fear God.
I need, next time when I have one verse, I need to have just one do that. That's too easy for you guys. Oh, I'll pick out the one. I'll just do the one with the one verse. That's what I did. That's what I did in school, man. Did you have a third one? Okay. Well, what did you write? Yeah. And you know, and I'm just, that's good. I would just say, I would have added, he trusted the Lord in doing it. It was just not just wisdom. I know it's, no, I'm trusting the Lord in doing this. That's the thing that set David apart. He trusted the Lord. He had a strong flesh nature with women, with himself, the census, the military, everything. And for David to just, at various times in his life, I'm going to trust the Lord. It was very provoking to God. That's powerful. Okay. Did you have a third one? Did you have a third one? That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Exactly right. Okay, let's see here. Second Chronicles. We got to finish this in a few minutes that we have. Second Chronicles, Solomon's fortune, Judah's fall. It has 36 chapters, but easily divided. Chapters 1 through 9, Solomon's reign over the United Kingdom. 10 through 36, seceding reigns of kings of Judah, the decline and destruction of the temple, and the dedication of the temple, which we've already studied. Solomon really blew it. I hope y'all hold fast to that study, what I built, and the people praised Solomon rather than the Lord. Those are powerfully important. Now let's go to the next page, 122, and take a look. Arrogance, Satan's. That's the most fundamental of all sin. Me. I don't care what our sin is, it's arrogance. I'm taking control. I'm not going to trust him in this. Whether I gossip about someone, slander someone, get mad at someone for driving, steal something, whatever you want to think or talk about, the first thing I have to decide, I'm independent of God. That's the heart and that's why faith is humility. Faith is, I am humble, I will trust. I'll not do my own. That's why faith is humility and works is arrogance. Okay. Solomon's reign over the United Kingdom. Wisdom and wealth of King Solomon. The temple, preparation, construction, dedication. Jerusalem chosen, the glory of God. Now, the thing about studying the temple and the building is because this will become important in the history of Israel. For an example, Jeremiah. Why will they be so mad at Jeremiah? Because he criticizes the temple. And the people are so upset at their second temple, built after they returned from exile, because it didn't add up to the glamour of this temple. So, when you read this section, I've decided I got some things I want to do on the temple, so we'll just do that next time. Let's see about assignments. Let's see. Simon, page 125. Got a lot of nice work in between, but... And page 137. Yeah, that'll be it. Okay. Heavenly Father, wow, we just love studying this, Father. History, calling out the people of Israel. Then dividing it up into tribes and how man just messes it all up. Divided kingdom. But all through this, Father, you just keep working. You just keep producing, bringing about your Messiah. Sometime we're down to one person. Sometime it's down to a prostitute. But you just keep working with those who respond to you. And what a challenge that is to us. Just keep trusting you. Not look at our circumstances, but just keep trusting you. Just put it into your hands. We're evaluated, Heavenly Father, on our basis of our faith, not on all we accomplish in our eyes, but did we trust you? So, Father, we thank you for this study. Just pray you continue to guide us, Father. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen.